It will be later today before a federal jury in Boston begins its deliberations over what sentence an admitted carjacker and killer deserves. Closing arguments in the sentencing trial of Gary Lee Sampson lasted the whole day yesterday. WBUR's David Boeri reports on the battle over whether Sampson deserves death or life in prison.
The clash even included the style. Prosecutor Zachary Hafer opened fast with the bold and personal. He conjured up the victims, and up came their photos on the monitors as Hafer provided bulletproof profiles. Philip McCloskey, 69, a grandfather, devoted father. Jonathan Rizzo, 19, oldest son of Mike and Mary, rising college sophomore, honor society, huge heart. And the New Hampshire victim, Robert Eli Whitney. Three kind, caring souls, seemingly unconnected to each other, Hafer said, brought together by the pure heinousness, cruelty, and depravity of that, with a quick pivot to the defendant, as if Sampson were another of the objects Hafer would put before the jurors. A belt, a yellow rope, a gag, a can of off, and, quote, this razor-sharp Remington pocket knife, as Sampson called it, end quote. Sampson used that knife along with another deadly tool, Hafer told the jury. He used his brain, cold and calculating, as an image popped up of Sampson's brain scan. Under Hafer's narration and in Sampson's hands, the knife went to work, stabbing Philip McCloskey again and again and again and again and again and again and again. The jurors were grim-faced and frozen. As the defendant sat at the defense table, he could hear himself describing the murders in sound clips of his confession to detectives in 2001. Jurors wept as Hafer contrasted Sampson's apparent lack of remorse to the emotional and enduring devastation of the victims' families. Now came the defense. Its lead attorney, Michael Burt, acknowledging the crimes with no excuses, he said, telling the jurors, if we could undo all that harm by executing Gary Sampson, I would be the first to inject the poison into his veins. In dry and detailed delivery, Burt talked to the jurors of instructions the judge would give, but before the judge did, and with transcriptions on the screen, thereby putting his own emphasis on the law he wanted jurors to remember. No juror is ever required to impose a sentence of death. The decision is yours as individuals to make, Burt told them. You may not make a decision based on emotion and anger rather than reasoned moral judgment. Burt spoke for over 3 hours, covering the long list of mitigating factors. Those begin with a claim of mild traumatic brain injury that Sampson suffered as a 4-year-old falling from a bicycle, compounded by repetitive head injuries as a child and adult. Add dyslexia, emotional abuse from his father, drug and alcohol abuse, physical abuse in prison, a dismal picture. Do we really need to kill him? Burt asked. The person Sampson was is dead, the attorney argued, and the person who remains is dying of liver disease and cirrhosis of the liver. Late in the day, with the energy visibly draining from the jurors, the courtroom, and the victims' families, back came the prosecution with its rebuttal. It was short and sharp. Deriding the diagnosis of a broken brain, Zach Hafer called it a strategic and convenient invention. He cited 5 expert witnesses who could not find any such brain injury. Once again, he pivoted toward the defendant. The law never requires the death penalty, Hafer said, but the law requires justice for that man. 5 hours, 10 minutes after they started, the closings are done. Now, the jurors decide. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Boeri.